When we get swamped by political events, other stories often fall by the wayside. The almost endless counts and recounts in the presidential election, for instance, led us to neglect the passing of some people who deserved commemoration. Pioneering journalist Marvel Cook was one such person. She died on November 29th at the age of 99. Throughout her long career, she covered some of the most important stories of the 20th century, ranging from communism in America to the civil rights movement. She was the first African American to work full-time for a major daily newspaper, the New York Daily Compass. Her best-known work, The Bronx Slave Market, told of the plight of domestic day workers and was published as a five-part series in 1950. After graduating from the University of Minnesota in 1925, Cook moved to Harlem and chronicled life there at the height of its cultural and political renaissance. Historian Roger Wilkins is Marvel Cook's nephew.
When she finished college, she was determined to go to New York. And my grandmother had known Du Bois when
W.E.B. Du Bois,
when she was a young woman, and she wrote to him and said, "You may not remember me, but I have a daughter now who wants to come to New York, and could you just interview her and help her get placed somewhere?" And he wrote back and said, "Of course I remember you, and of course I would see your daughter." And he hired her as his secretary and assistant at the NAACP magazine, The Crisis. And she was an English major in college, so writing and editing were natural activities for her, and Du Bois was well pleased with her.
What was her work like, her life as a journalist?
She was both a journalist and a political activist. My grandfather was a man of very high ideals and an idealist. He had helped organize the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters, and he was a Eugene V. Debs socialist. And so my aunt went to New York with the idea that she would use her life to make the world better. So she became deeply involved in progressive causes, and her series on the slave market is quintessential Marvel.
You say that she was a member of the Communist Party, as so many people were then, but she didn't take that as like the major part of her existence, and she ended up in front of HUAC, the House Un-American Activities Committee, and Joseph McCarthy.
McCarthy was a senator, and he had an investigating committee which destroyed the lives and careers of a lot of people. But he called her before him, and as she told it to me, he said, "Well, Madam Commissar, that's how you're called in your circles, aren't you?" And she said, "No, I don't know what circles you're talking about, but nowhere that I go am I called Madam Commissar, and I don't know anyone who is." And he humped and grumped and dismissed her.
That was that?
That was that, and she never was bothered by them again. It's curious, but that's how it was.
Did she ever have any theories about why that was?
Well, her only theory was that she wasn't intimidated by him, and she thought that the fact that she just looked him right in the eye and essentially said, "That's a stupid question," made him decide, "Well, I can't get anywhere with this woman, so
she's more trouble than she's worth," kind of.
Right, right.
Professor Wilkins, you already mentioned W.E.B. Du Bois, the great intellectual of his day and civil rights leader. But your aunt also knew people like Richard Wright, the novelist. And she knew some pretty prominent figures of her day.
Well, she knew everybody. She was engaged to Roy Wilkins, who later became the head of the NAACP. And, of course, he went on to become one of the big four civil rights leaders in the 60s. When I was a child, she introduced me to artists like Charles White, Ralph Ellison, who had started out as quite a leftist activist, used to be a regular. We had family dinners on Sunday, and Ralph wasn't making a lot of money selling things in those days. So
selling his writing.
Right. So he was often at dinner. Richard Wright would always stop by and see Marvel when he was in New York. So I saw all these people as I was growing up. She was really a magnetic woman. She was quite beautiful and very striking, and she had wonderful taste in clothing, and she was a great cook. She had a real flair for life. So people were attracted to her because of her many talents, including her sparkling mind.
Roger Wilkins is a professor of history at George Mason University. Thank you, Professor Wilkins.
You're welcome.